Welcome back to the Daily Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Woods. I'm here, as always, with my guy, Brandon Rabar. Brandon, how are you this fine Monday evening?
I'm good, man. Watching basketball. It's a bye night for the Thunder. Is that a thing, bye night? Like in the NFL, you get a bye week. It's just an off night.
I've never heard bye night before, but maybe that's your new thing.
Let's make it happen. Bye night. The Thunder have a bye night tonight. And then they play tomorrow against the Magic, and then they got a whole bye week and a few bye nights in addition. So
what's funny about the Thunder is they have so many picks from other teams that it's almost like they're never on a bye night because some game affects them in some way long term.
That really is true. Just tonight, for instance, the Rockets are playing. Thunder have a vested interest, obviously, in that. The Clippers are playing the Wolves. And now that they're battling for the top, you know, 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed in the West and hoping to keep, of course, home court advantage, top 4 seed, and the higher they get, the better. All these other teams at the top of the West, any game they're involved in now is interesting for Thunder fans as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, this was actually a great night for games. And it looked like we were talking offline about Thursday night because the Nuggets and Kings play, but so many games on Thursday. There's some good nights of basketball here leading up to the All-Star break, which honestly, how are you feeling? Are you excited about a little bit of a break?
Nope. I never am.
No?
I know people love it. I honestly can't stand it. And Thunder fans and Thunder, you know, analysts, podcasters, all those things, is going to be an even longer All-Star break because the Thunder's last game is on a Tuesday night. And like you said, there's a lot of games Wednesday and Thursday of this week. So other teams are going to be playing a couple more nights while the Thunder are off. So it's going to seem like an extremely long break for Thunder fans. And the last thing I'll say is why I don't like it is, you know, I think All-Star weekend is fun. I get it, but it's just not the same as, like, I would rather watch the Thunder take on the Wizards on a Tuesday night than I would the All-Star game. That's just me. I get into, you know, the voting and who makes the team and who's the starter, all those things. But the actual game itself, I honestly would rather just watch regular basketball.
I hear that. I'm always like excited, like leading up to it, like, wow, you know, we get a break. It's kind of get to exhale a little bit, but then on the backside, I'm always ready for games like Monday, Tuesday. And it's always, you know, it's so long before they start playing again on the other side of it. So it does feel like a lengthy break. Like this, I will say it feels like there's some Thunder players that are very excited about 12 days off. So, you know, hopefully they see it as a way to kind of unplug, get away and rest and gear up for this final few weeks of the regular season. And they're, you know, the last couple seasons, this has kind of been the time of the year where they start making moves to go, you know, to go towards the bottom of the standings and try and improve their draft stock. And obviously last year was not that, but the couple years before that were. And so this is going to be a real push towards, you know, they've got a lot of basketball left. And it's not just through the first couple weeks of April. They are going to be playing in some really high stakes, legit playoff games. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a much needed break and kind of a gear up for what's to come. They played yesterday, a great win, kind of slayed some dragons, a couple of them yesterday. They win an afternoon game, and they beat the Kings for the first time in 9 tries, I believe. So yeah, it was a really, really solid win. And led by Shea and Jalen, they were They were just incredible. Were you at yesterday afternoon's game?
I was at yesterday's game. Really, really impressive from Shea and Jada, that duo. They scored 70 points together. I mean, and
That'll
on
do.
just ridiculous percentages as well. Like you said, they had lost every single afternoon game they had going into it, 0-3, and they lost all of them by double digits. Like their worst losses of the year, all afternoon games. And then they had lost 8 straight to the Kings. So beating them. Not only beating them, but beating them soundly and beating them while they were at full strength, beating them while the Thunder won the second night of a back-to-back, beating them as a rebound to their worst loss of the season. There were a lot of reasons that this was an impressive game. But yeah, it was Jada, 13 of 20 for 32 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. Shea, 38 points, 15 of 26, 3 of 4 from 3. 7 assists. Then, of course, Chet came in with 14 points, had 4 blocks, 2 steals, 5 of 9 from the floor. Just really, really impressive from the Thunder's big three.
The 8 rebounds, 9 assists from Jalen is awesome. It's so good to see him like playing more on the ball, having those opportunities to spread the ball around. And guys were hitting shots yesterday. There's no question that helps. Like it really helps when those spray passes out to the wing and to the corner going down. Makes a huge difference, especially against a team like the Kings. You need to be able to set your defense, and you can't do that with how fast they are, unless you are, putting the ball in the basket. And still, it takes discipline against, even after a made basket, to get back in transition on that team. So I thought it was a really solid win. I felt like that, after coming off the Dallas loss, for them to take care of them the way that they did, a team that they've struggled with, and also it avoided their first 3-game losing streak of the season. They still haven't lost 3 times in a row this year, which is a great sign, a healthy sign for such a young team.
Yeah, and I can't remember what those other wins were like after they had lost 2 straight, but I know that this wasn't their only impressive win after losing 2 straight to avoid the 3-loss streak. So they
Yeah,
really
they
do.
lost the two in LA, and then to win at is that at Utah?
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one.
Yeah.
I knew there were some impressive ones. Like it takes, some resiliency, and it takes some pride to fight back when you've lost a couple and not get to those 3 straight wins. I think the most impressive thing about that Kings game, though, besides the duo of Shea and J-Dub, was the defense. Like Lu Dort
Yeah.
holding De'Aaron Fox to 6 of 17 shooting. And Shea said that going into the game, it was all about a defensive mindset because of what the Mavs did to them. The Mavs just basically scoring at will. I think that, the Thunder came in definitely with the chip on their shoulder and with that in mind. And you could tell, like, they played from the jump. They played much more aggressively. They played much sharper. Obviously, when you hear sharper, you always think of offense, but they were much sharper on defense yesterday against the Kings. Yeah, it was. When the Thunder are locked in, and of course, playing at home makes a big difference as well. The crowds in OKC have been fantastic over the last month or two, and they're just getting better and better. And this was on Super Bowl Sunday, by the way, and it was
Yeah.
still, packed out, good, loud crowd. But this Thunder team, the more and more the sample size grows, and the more and more quality wins that they pick up, you start to wonder, like, well, what can they do in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think that's another reason that home court's going to be really big, especially if they take care of round one, which that's going to be no gimme no matter who they play. The West is the back half of the West is really starting to shape up and look really, really strong. But if they move on, you want those first two at home for sure. And it really sets a tone for the series, and they've been phenomenal at home. And I think having those games, starting the series at home, having this crowd, that playoff crowd back, to open up a series is going to be a real asset and something I'm excited for the guys to see and hear, you know, and experience and play in, because that's been a calling card for the Thunder for a long time, going back to the Russ KD days, is how impactful and strong that home playoff crowd is. And honestly, you know, I think Chet mentioned it earlier in the season. I'm really hoping we see some t-shirt nights, you know, where we fill the room with, you know, blue and or white, maybe checkered. What's your favorite playoff crowd t-shirt situation?
Yeah, I'm just I like the whiteouts a lot, just the way it looks when you're in the arena. The blue outs were cool though too. Anytime you can get an orange Thunder shirt, you know, and pack it out. Maybe my favorite though is I really like when they go half and half, like one section is like blue, one section is white, that type of thing. I don't know. When you start talking about it and thinking about it, like, you get this kind of rush of memories and what that crowd is like. And I, you know, I do think that, you know, some fans wonder, like, will it be back? I do think that we will see the return of Loud City in the playoffs. Like, because of what we've seen from this OKC crowd during this regular season, even some nights when they're playing, you know, kind of lottery teams and things like that, the crowd has been visibly and audibly much, much, I mean, they've been louder. They've been impactful. They made a difference. They're raising to their feet at ends of games. The organic OKC chants, you know, starting at the end, giving the team ovation, crowds leaving the arena, and you hear it in like the hallways and, you know, under the bridge, walking out of Bricktown and things like that.
Yep.
So when the playoffs come, I think you'll see that ratcheted up even more. I think you'll see the Thunder provide the shirts. I think it'll be full blown back this playoffs. That's my feeling, at least. I hope so.
Just an aside, I do hope they try and work something out down the road with the new arena to bring back some Thunder Alley shenanigans, because that was just incredible before it all went away.
Oh man, it was such a bummer when it went away. That was such a cool, unique thing. I remember like seeing the clips of it on TV. It just looked so wild. And they had just put that huge screen on the outside of the arena, people watching the game, getting rowdy and loud. It was a really, really cool atmosphere.
Another bit of news since the last time we talked was the Thunder signed Bismack Biyombo for the rest of the season. I think we've talked pretty, you know, pretty positively since the news came out offline, but you want to share your thoughts on just what you expect from Biyombo, the type of role? I think it's pretty clear. People are aware of what this is about, but what are your thoughts on Biyombo?
Yeah, I think it's a really good move. You get a proven NBA vet, you get size, you get rebounding, you get defense, you get a shot blocker. He's obviously not a shooter. He doesn't have great hands. But the things that Thunder fans were kind of worried about the most, I think, were, you know, another scoring shooting piece to add to this. You know, like if an opponent starts to sag off of Josh Giddey or Lou Dort, you know, having another guy that's not only a shooter, because you got Isaiah Joe, you got Cason Wallace, you got guys you can put in there, but somebody that's, you know, also a threat to handle the ball, take it to the rim, play make, be a connector piece. That's Gordon Hayward. But then you also wanted size and rebounding, you know, just to throw at certain teams, certain matchups, you know, to give Chet 10, 12 minutes of rest. And, you know, maybe you don't play Jay Will because he's a little bit undersized. Bismack Biyombo is only 6'8", which is hilarious because he does not look 6'8" whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he has a 7'7" wingspan. He's got like a J-Dub wingspan on a 6'8 body. He plays much, much bigger. He's a true center. And he's kind of like, I mean, he'll finish lobs. He'll get put back dunks. He'll block shots. And if you need to play him for 10 minutes in a playoff game, you can reliably count on him to get rebounds and play some defense. He's a hustle, energy guy. He's also really, really well liked by all of his teammates and fans. Like, he always becomes a fan favorite wherever he goes. And of course, you know, the Congo connection, Thunder first era had Serge Ibaka, Eric Congo, and now Bismack Biyombo. You know, I just think it's a smart move to pick up a guy that can fill a need if you need him in the playoffs for free. You don't give up any assets. Like, would it have been better? Like, is Daniel Gafford a better player? Well, sure, yes, and he's younger. But giving up assets for Daniel Gafford and the salary that you'd have to pay Daniel Gafford as opposed to getting Biyombo for free, no assets, vet minimum. I really like the move. I think it's a smart move that makes them better this year down the stretch and in the playoffs.
And there is a bit of it that feels like Presti, like, okay, go find another thing to gripe about, because it's not going to be that we didn't get a big. We've checked the box. We've sealed it. We've got one. Everyone can have peace. I've been trying to stress, like, they'll probably make some kind of move and add a bigger body as a third big to do the things you just mentioned. But it just became so loud, you know, leading up to the deadline of they need more size. Well, they got more size. They just didn't invest, you know, really any capital, future capital in the position. But we'll see how much he plays. It sounds like both Hayward and Biyombo will be available post All-Star break. Their first game after the All-Star break is against the Clippers. But it seems like finishing out the month is a fairly favorable schedule for the Thunder. I believe they play the Spurs, the Rockets a couple times. There's another team that I'm forgetting, but I think they play five games post All-Star break through the end of February. But that Clipper game will be really, that'll be a really good test straight out of the gate. It feels like the Thunder always have or at least used to have, they would always play a pretty marquee game right out of the All-Star break. Remember those Heat games in the LeBron days? It seemed like that was always right after the break.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, the Thunder, obviously Magic last game before the break. That's a game where you hope they can win, so you take some momentum into the break, and then Clippers after the break. But then the Wizards were the team that you were thinking of, because they play the Wizards, the Rockets, the Spurs. And that four-game stretch, you really hope, regardless of whatever happens in that Clippers game, and that Clippers game is in OKC, but that four-game stretch, you can really, you know, put a little cushion there. Obviously, the Thunder want to go as high as they can. There's a few reasons why, like, you know, the higher the seed, the better. Obviously, I don't need to explain that. But also, low-key, SGA versus Jokic may come down to who's the higher seed, as silly as that may seem. Their numbers are so close, and you can make an argument either way, that it really may come down to whoever has the higher seed. And I don't think that's something the Thunder will talk about. I don't think that's something they'll discuss. But Thunder fans definitely will, and the media definitely will, and they'll hear about it. And, you know, it's got to be some motivation, you know, whether they talk about it, whether, you know, I think every single one of these teammates want to see Shea win this MVP, and he's got a legitimate chance. He's got a legitimate chance. But yeah, obviously the higher the seed, the better. Put some wins in that win column when you can. Then they have the Suns and the Lakers, obviously two tough games on the road. Then they got the Blazers, Heat, Grizzlies, Pacers. So the schedule lightens up. It's been brutal for the Thunder in December and January. This stretch coming out of the All-Star break is really a chance for them to put some wins in the win column.
I totally agree about Jokic and Shea. It feels like it's going to come down to those two guys. And I think there will be voters that will look at that final record and And if the numbers are as close as they are now, that could be, you know, a tiebreaker one way or the other. Wanted to ask you about Hayward coming out of the All-Star break as it relates to Giddey. I know we've had some conversations about it. There's been a lot of talk on Twitter amongst fans about solutions for Giddey and what they, you know, how they manage his game and his minutes going forward. Do you think there's a change coming for Giddey as far as role, like maybe coming off the bench? Do you see any, what percentage would you give that of him, you know, them moving him to the bench in place of Hayward and having him be more of an on-ball creator after the break?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect it because Josh Giddey has been the starter. The Thunder are very invested in Josh Giddey and his development. He's still very young and, you know, obviously struggling this season. I mean, it's apparent, but he still had good games. He still shows those flashes. And those first two seasons, I mean, he did look like a star on the rise, like at least a really, really good player, young, good player, even if not a star. So they're very invested. I will say this, though. Gordon Hayward is a former All-Star. He's started the vast majority of his games. Like, he's a starter. Like, yeah, sure, he's had some games ready to start, but the dude is a starter. And he's not playing until after the All-Star break. If they were to make a move, again, I don't expect it. I would still expect Josh Giddey to be the starter and for Gordon Hayward to come off the bench and for him to be like a six-man type. But Josh Giddey's minutes have been, you know, trending down. If they were going to make a move, and again, so this very clearly, I don't think it's going to happen, but if they were, this would be the time to do it. With a guy like Gordon Hayward, he's a big name. He's a starter. He's a pass all-star. He's still a really good player, and he usually starts. If it were going to happen, it would be, you know, for Gordon Hayward after the All-Star break. Was I careful enough with my words there?
Yeah, I think so. I hear what you're saying. And I
was like overly like dumb, careful.
I wouldn't expect it based on the team we're dealing with. Like, it just doesn't seem like a Thunder thing. It's not something they've done a lot in the past. I know Mark he's been fluid with rotations and minutes and stuff. So that, like, there is something to that. But this team has always waited a very long time before making a significant change like that, especially one that affects, you know, could have an effect on players' value and confidence and all of that. So I keep going back to how long they waited to replace Steph Losha in the starting lineup in the playoffs. That had been trending down towards the end of that regular season, and they had signed Caron Butler in the buyout market, and I think that was a thing a lot of people were really wanting to see a lot sooner than it happened. And it took them going down 3-2 and going on the road for a game six before they made that switch. And so I just don't, I'm with you. I don't think it's going to happen. Would I be in favor of it right now, right this second where we sit? I would say yes. If it meant, and not just to get, this isn't like an anti-Giddey thing, but just more of a get him in more positions where he's doing what he's being asked to do, what he's most effective at. And that is being on the ball as a playmaker and setting the table for guys and getting in the lane and playing downhill and playing fast. That's where we've seen him be really good. I'd love to see him start hitting those shots, those runners and shots close to the basket. I'd love to see those start going in more, no matter where, no matter if he's starting or no matter who he's playing with. Those need to start going in more. But I would love to see him on ball with shooters coming off the bench to start that second quarter. I think it would be valuable, and I think it would help him just as much as it would help the starting unit with another, with another shooter and guy that can do a little bit more than just shoot, but just a guy that teams are going to, truly guard, out on the perimeter, I think is always a good thing for a team that drives as much as the Thunder do, and the way that Shea and Jaylen play, I think it could really open things up a little more. I think the Giddy, teams not guarding him in the corner has really hampered things for Chet as well. So just offensively, I think there are things to be gained by making that move, but I agree that I wouldn't expect it, but I wouldn't, I wouldn't be opposed either.
Yeah, and the only other thing I will say is Gordon Hayward's still a good player. Like, I do think that Gordon Hayward as a trade asset and a guy that can help this team down the stretch and in the playoffs is becoming kind of underrated. Like, if you look at his numbers, he's still putting up 15 points, basically 5 rebounds, 5 assists, at age 33, and he's doing it, fairly efficiently on a really, really bad Hornets team. He only played 25 games, but he's, even last year, like his Hornets tenure, they haven't been a good team, and he's put up good numbers. I mean, he's had the injuries. He's older, but he can still play. I think the scoring punch and the space and the playmaking and the size is going to go really, really nice along with Shea, Dub, Chet. And I think that fifth guy, whether that's Giddy, whether that's Dort, whether that's Isaiah Joe, whether that's Cason Wallace, Aaron Wiggins, Kenrich Williams, you can kind of fit any other guy in that as the fifth guy. But I think those four guys are really, really dangerous set of scorers, shooters, ball handlers, playmakers, and solid defenders as well. Even Gordon Hayward, he's not a terrible defender, even as at his age now. And he's a smart defender and he uses his size well. So I don't ultimately know what's going to happen with Hayward and the minutes and things like that. And whether Giddy continues to start or not start, I think the important thing, I think Hayward's going to take minutes. Like I said, we've seen Giddy's minutes trend downwards. Some of it depends on matchup in the game and in game situation, but obviously the Micić minutes are going to Hayward. I think Jang minutes, I think, some Kenrich minutes, and I think Giddy minutes, maybe some Dort minutes. Like, if you're wondering how many minutes he's going to play per game, I mean, maybe guess around 20 minutes per game. I wouldn't be surprised to see him close in tight games quite a bit. And ultimately, the closing five, nobody really ever talks about the closing five, but it ultimately may be more meaningful than the opening five. Yes, the minutes count the same and all those things. But Martin Daigneault, the last thing I'll say about all this, going back to like Thabo and the first era of the Thunder and then not making switches and things like that, Daigneault has proven to be much different than Scotty Brooks and Billy Donovan. Like with Brooks and Donovan, you could set your time, your clock, and by the time 9 minutes roll around, like this guy was coming in, this guy was coming out, this guy would play these 8 minutes here. These would be the starting five. These three come in, these two come out. I mean, you could set your watch by it, but Daigneault is completely unpredictable. Second half opens, he may be starting Cason Wallace over Lou Dort, and Lou Dort may have played perfectly fine in the first half. Like it's unpredictable. You never know who's going to get minutes, who's going to play when, where. So I will say that I do think that this era in Daigneault is definitely different than Brooks and Donovan. So, I guess I'm saying I wouldn't be shocked, whatever move is made because Daigneault will make a move if he feels like it's the right move.
I totally agree that there's a huge difference in the way that Mark handles the roster, the rotation. No doubt about that. And shout out Brooks and Dunn. You kept saying Brooks and Donovan, and it kept making me think Brooks and Donovan, you know? So the Magic at the Magic tomorrow night, and that game's on TNT. That'll be a fun one. We'll see how many, I always enjoy watching the national broadcast to try and guess how many Thunder games that they've actually seen this year based on how they're talking about the guys, how many times they mess up the Jaylens, which continues to be a thing somehow, after all this time. And, it'll be a good time. The Chet Paolo, dynamic, two really good young teams that are, they're heading the same direction. I'm really excited about this game.
Yeah, it's fun because I was sitting down to write about it, and it's like you can build this matchup as Paolo versus Chet, number one versus number two in the 2022 draft, or you can build it as Paolo versus J-Dub, number one and number two in Rookie of the Year voting. So, like, mm-hmm. either way, there's, like, this Paolo matchup with both Chet and J-Dub that's fun. It's on national TV, TNT. Anytime the Thunder get on national TV is still a big deal, and it's a lot of fun. And more people get to see this team each time. So I'm excited about that. And I think it's a good opportunity. Orlando's a good team, and they're healthy tomorrow. I mean, they'll have all their guys, and they can be dangerous. But if the Thunder can beat the Kings and the Magic and go into the All-Star break as the number two seed, that's a really, really good first two thirds of the season. And
absolutely,
Thunder fans have got to be feeling good. Like, it's going to feel painful having to wait 9 days to watch the Thunder play again for a lot of Thunder fans. It's funny, like, if you're a football fan, you know, it's a week between every game and it just feels normal. But a basketball fan, you have to wait 2 days. Like, if your team has like 2 days off, that's like excruciating, like the wait. So 8 days off, but at least you'll have that nice feeling of the Thunder going in with some momentum if they can beat this Magic team.
Yeah. Earlier I said 12 days off and I don't know why, 9 days between games. All right. We're going to wrap it there. So Brandon, thanks so much. Talk to you soon. This is the Daily Thunder Podcast.